Welcome back to our lesson. I'm pleased that you have tuned back in today. In my lesson today, and maybe even tomorrow or the next day, I don't know exactly how many days I'll speak from the book of Jude. There's a lot of good teaching and preaching in the book of Jude. In this lesson that I'm going to endeavor to teach, it's about something that you can't buy, but you can enjoy it. It's like the sun. You can't buy the sun, no matter how rich you are, no matter how politically connected that you are. You can't buy the sun, but you can enjoy it. It's like the Atlantic Ocean. You can't buy it. No one can buy it, but everybody can enjoy it. It's like the stars at night and the moon shining brightly. Oh, there are many people that would like to buy this. It's a beautiful thing on a clear night to just gaze up into the heavens and let the stars and the moon speak to you about the glory of our God. No, sirree, Bob, you can't buy it, but you can certainly enjoy it, and many have. So it is about what I'm going to speak to you in this lesson. I'm going to be talking about salvation for the soul. You can't buy it. You can't sell it. It can be sold, but it cannot be bought. You can't give it away. Salvation belongs to God. It is of God. It comes from God. It doesn't come from the preacher, the pastor, the deacon. It doesn't come from your best friend. It comes only from God. I'm going to read some verses of Scripture from the book of Jude. Now, we call this a book, but in fact, it's more like a leaflet, a pamphlet, like a sticky note that you would attach to your refrigerator. I'm going to read a few verses, beginning at the beginning. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, and the brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ, and called, mercy unto you, and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write to you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write to you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. We find here that the apostle did not write just to be writing. He wasn't writing because he felt it was time to get in touch with some of the people. He didn't write them to let them know how he was doing. It wasn't a letter to find out how they were doing. This writing was the results of an urgent feeling on his part. He says, when I gave all diligence to write to you about the common salvation, it was needful. He could have said something like the Apostle Paul says, woe is me if I write not this letter. This should serve as a lesson to you and I. We shouldn't be speaking just for the sake of speaking. We should not be talking or teaching simply because we love to hear the sound of our own voice. We shouldn't be preaching just because it's 11:30 on Sunday morning and there's a message listed on the program. When we teach, when we preach, we must feel the urgency. We must feel necessity is laid upon us. And woe is us if we teach and preach not this doctrine, when we take it upon ourselves to teach or write or preach concerning the divine things of God, it should be because it is needful. And when we speak in the name of God, when we preach in the name of Christ, it should be because we have something to say that is needful and should be said. Unless a person feels an imperative necessity to speak, he will not speak as the ambassador of God. It would have been better if Jude had not given all diligence to write, if he had not first felt the necessity was laid upon him to do so. Before you instruct others, endeavor to feel the obligation which rests upon you to impart the light which you have received. For if you have been called of God unto this ministry, woe unto you if you preach not the gospel. The souls of others require the truth which you have been commissioned to teach. But you also are required to teach them. For if you teach not or warn not, their blood may stain your skirts. That the soul be without knowledge is not good. Neither is it good to any that he should withhold that truth which he knows. That men should live and die in ignorance of Christ is too horrible to conceive. Therefore, when you speak or write, do it because it is needful, and needful that you should do it. You know that it behooved Christ to suffer, and even so it behooves us to hold forth the word of life. Let's look at the reason that he gave all diligence to write to the people. Let's see what it was that made it so needful for Jude to write to them and exhort them to earnestly contend for the faith. Verse 4 answers that question. Jude says, because there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Jesus Christ. These filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignitaries. These speak evil of things which they know not, but what they know naturally. In these things they corrupt themselves. They are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lust, and their mouth speaks great swelling words. The Apostle Jude said, beloved, remember the words which were spoken before of the prophets of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you there would be mockers in the last times who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. Did you notice how many times Jude used that word, ungodly? Paul used that word 3 times. Peter used the word ungodly 3 times. And now, here in this short book, Jude uses the word ungodly 6 times. He uses it 4 times in verse 15. Ungodly men, he says, who separate themselves, sensual, not having the Spirit. He told them there would be men like this. But you beloved, building up yourselves in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keeping yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Jude said, "You have been told this, but yet in my spirit I felt it necessary to once again remind you to earnestly contend for the faith because of these certain men who have crept in unaware, ungodly men," he said, "turning the grace of God into lasciviousness." These are ungodly men who claim that nothing I do is a sin because I am living in the grace of God. Friend, do not believe that. I'm going to step away from the microphone, but before I do, I want to remind you that John wrote to the people and said, "I write to you that you sin not, but if you do sin, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us."